What if I told you you can make 20 times the return of a single family fix and flip on your next big deal? Well, it's actually possible. It's possible inside the world of commercial real estate. Say, I'm inviting you to this free challenge. It starts August 15th. It's totally free. It's a 5-day challenge where I'm going to take you and deep dive into the world of commercial real estate, more specifically, capital multiplier properties. What that is, how we identify them. I'm going to show you how to identify them, how to evaluate them, and how to lock them up risk-free. I'm going to give you all the paperwork to do it. It's totally free. You can sign up to join us at www.20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. That's www.20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. And I'll see you in the challenge.
That's pattern interrupt, because what I've learned is you're not just competing against other operators that are looking to buy your property. You're competing with the world, pandemics out there, all of that has people's attention.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I've got Sterling White here with me today. He's a multifamily investor here in the Midwest. He managed over $10 million in capital across 500 units deployed across a $16 million real estate portfolio. He's a Bigger Pockets contributor since 2014, over 200 posts. He's been featured on a number of other podcasts, Bigger Pockets podcast, Grant Cardone, Jake and Gino, and Job Fearless, just to name a few. And today, Real Grit, he gets to put on his resume. Sterling, how are you?
Hey, I'm feeling good, feeling great. Everyone, go ahead. You want to get your bags ready or some type of object to wear, because we're going to be dropping golden bombs and golden nuggets. So you'll definitely want to pick those up as we go.
I'm excited for it to have you here. You've been in this industry for some time now. Just take me back to the beginning. What was your first entry point into the real estate investing industry?
Yeah, so I'll take it way back and had humble beginnings, of which grew up in the types of neighborhoods where you wouldn't want to walk your dog at night or even during the day. I had a single mother as well as a fraternal twin brother. Some people say we look alike, but he's as dark as Wesley Snipes, as I would say. Just kidding. He's not that dark. But I remember there was one instance, Neil, where both my brother and I were sitting at the picnic table eating in the kitchen. We're about 5 or 6 years old, and we go upstairs. About 5 minutes right after, a bullet comes right through the back patio where we were sitting. So that was just the type of environment that I grew up in. And I remember every other day we had to get down on the ground because it sounded like fireworks were outside, but those were actually gunshots and just people, just that type of activity. But luckily I was able to make it out of that environment. I really came across entrepreneurship at an early age because I had to figure out a way to earn money. But in the legal sense, that's the path I took. So started with Kool-Aid, Pokemon cards, and then fast forward, how I got into real estate is my roommate's dad owned a construction company. And so I had some free time. I was a laborer. That's how I got my foot in the door. And I read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which from that, I saw that the wealthy got that way by not actually being laborers. And then that's when I got my foot in the door to buying single families, bought 150, and then transitioned to multifamily. And the latest deal was 156 unit apartment complex.
Wow. Take me back to being a kid. Most people don't get out of the environment that you described. There's a vicious cycle. How in the world did you find yourself? What was it, either mentally or, you know, something they injected in your life that allowed you to break free from that environment?
Yeah, and that is a great question. I don't know if it was some higher being or whatever it was. Is I've always been a good kid, but it really does come down to the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. And this was exactly what happened in my case, where my mother, and I love that she did this, is she ended up moving us out of that environment to more of the suburbs. We were still in lower income housing, but it was a completely different schooling and different people we were around. What happened was my brother went back to that environment that we were formerly in and stayed with those friends and took a completely different path in life than I did. So I would say that credits to that. And then also, I don't know if there's something out there that just helped me and really was looking out for me in moments where I was taking a not so good path. And hey, Sterling, just steer yourself a little bit more this way.
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. Take me through, you bought a whole bunch of single families and kept them as rentals. That was your primary business.
Correct. Buy and hold.
Buy and hold from the entry point. How did you manage those properties?
Self-management. So it was a huge pain to have that many single families. Not only the amount of transactions, because if we were lucky, is we'd get a package of 2 to 3, but majority of the time it was just one-offs. So from that is, and then did the self-management. So had anywhere between 10 to 11 employees in-house. And a lot of that flowed directly up to me because at the time my partner ended up moving out to another market and it was more remote. So a lot of that ended up coming up to me. So that's how a lot of that had started initially.
Take me through single families to graduating to the transition to multifamilies. What was your first entry point into multifamily? How many units? And walk me through that deal.
Yeah. So jumped right from single families to a 46 unit apartment complex. Yeah. And it was one of those things that I didn't even look at it as being daunting. And this is one of the key things that really helped me on my transition, especially into entrepreneurship. And I had so many different pivotal moments in my early 20s. I ended up attempting a world record. That's another conversation itself. But is with that is focused on mindset. I did a lot of, because also what I had to do was I had to do a lot of rewiring of the limiting beliefs and all of those type of, what is it, thoughts that were ingrained in me as a kid, such as wealthy people, they are unethical people, in order to get to that. And I'm thinking, well, how can I ever be rich and wealthy if I'm an ethical person? Just right. All these different things. So it was very interesting. So I'm trying to think. So just going back to it is that, yeah, that transition was made from, took a step back, single families. Okay, this is not as scalable as we want. Now let's look at other models, and multifamily made the most sense.
Mm-hmm. So where were you physically located and where was that first multifamily? Same market or different market?
Yeah, same market. In Indianapolis, it was the near south side.
Okay. How did you manage that one?
That was in-house as well. And it was easier to actually manage that than all of the other ones, interesting enough, all of the other single families.
Yeah. And then you continued down a multifamily path.
Yeah. So after So after that, bought a 50 unit, then bought two separate 80 units, and then 156 unit right after that.
What spurred you to go down this multifamily path versus continuing down the single family path, which you had built so much success in?
Scalable is that was first and foremost. And just having that many single families, because had about 120 or so that were in Indianapolis and about 30 or so that were in Dayton, Ohio. And it was just an absolute nightmare when it came to that. Is not only it was management intensive for managing people, which is not my skill set, but then also having all these single families scattered throughout these two cities. Yeah. So there was that vert and that many of transactions in order to get 150 single families. So with multifamily, that first 46 unit, that's when the light bulb went off. It was 46 units all in one location and one seller. And that's when we said, okay, now, no longer the single family side. Let's go directly moving forward multi.
Yeah. Talk to me about the multifamily side and your team structure that supports the multifamily side. What does that look like?
Yeah. So how it works is there's myself as one of the operators of the company. And then there's also my partner, Jacob. So we're the main GPs. Yeah. And then we ended up bringing on Vanessa, who was the COO, the chief operating officer, to then she was the manager of our management team with, we had administrative assistants, leasing agents. We also had a construction manager as well, because the most recent deal was about $2.8 million of renovation. So it was a pretty heavy value out on that. So there was a lot of money floating around and just a lot of management. So that's how the infrastructure would work.
Do you guys, the construction side of things for that remodel, do you guys go external or are you the general manager of that? Or do you go get a general manager from a construction standpoint?
So I'm not too much into the trenches when it comes to the construction side.
Sure.
I do know it is, what do you call it? A GC that we've used in the past on all of our single families. So yeah, we just have our construction manager manage the GC that has their multiple crews within that.
That makes sense. What has been the most challenging piece about being in multifamily?
The most challenging piece is, I would say on the side, I wouldn't even call it patience, but faith. I wouldn't even call that faith. That's more of what I see other people experience. Mm. But it's tough when you're in the trenches, because myself is take the direct to owner approach.
Yeah.
And from that approach is I was the one that was myself making all the calls, following up with all these different owners and constantly getting kicked in the face every single day. So I would say that was the tough part, is the endurance from a, I wouldn't even call it mental health, but the endurance from a mental standpoint to be able to bear that consistently day in and day out, and then go the next day to do that, where the day before that, everyone said, no, this person said you shouldn't be in the business, your offer was too low, and just being able to pick yourself up and go do it all over again.
Because doing that is nowhere near the same as doing that in houses. Meaning that you are, sooner or later, you're going to get a lot house a lot faster than you're going to get a multifamily.
Yes,
that's what I mean by that.
I do agree with that. It takes quite a bit of while. And it was just more of just really planting a lot of those seeds and just having faith that, hey, I'm just going to have to keep consistently doing this. And at someday it'll pay off. But as you're going through that, it's not easy.
Right. Yeah. So you're direct to seller and everything. Do you mail or you primarily call?
Primarily call.
Primarily call. Yeah. Good for you. That is
Do follow up with the direct mail, because these are apartments. So willing to, because the marketing on the multifamily side is even more niche down and focused than on the single family when you're targeting oftentimes huge lists.
Correct.
So we'll start with the cold call, but then we'll follow up with more creative type of direct mail. So we'll follow up with someone with the Rubik's Cube, for instance, that says, hey, let's figure this out, with a little note against the Rubik's Cube. Or you can send someone Tylenol and that would just say, hey, looking to take this headache off your hands. So able to spend a little bit more, because one, there's a higher payoff, and then the list is even more niche down.
Yeah. Do some lumpy mail. It absolutely gets their attention, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. And that's the thing, is pattern interrupt, because what I've learned is you're not just competing against other operators that are looking to buy your property.
That's
you're competing with the world, pandemics out there, all of that has people's attention.
Well, you're also competing against a property owner doing nothing, right?
That as well. Yeah.
Right. And so that pattern interrupt, I think that's brilliant to be able to do that and get a conversation rolling in their head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's another reason to follow up is, hey, Jim, just curious, did you figure out that Rubik's Cube? One of the owners, I remember calling him. He says, my wife cannot figure out this damn Rubik's Cube. And so you're thinking his wife is in the back playing with the Rubik's Cube, trying to figure it out. And he's thinking of the person who actually sent that.
That's right.
So saying top of mind.
Yeah, that's great. Talk to me about core values in your business for your leadership team. What is it that's really a non-negotiable for you guys? And maybe talk to how that rolls out culturally. How does it fit then with your environment?
I say the first is attitude. That is first and foremost. And this is one of the things, even in the initial interview, that's the screening, is if you ask the person, how was the trip over here? They say, oh, I ran into all these potholes, the rain, it all sucked. And then you have a really good indication of how that person's attitude is.
Yeah.
But if you have someone that has a good attitude, because the good attitude for me is the core foundation. And if they have the skills, awesome, but those skills are more teachable. But when someone has a bad attitude, that's a very difficult habit to take someone out of.
Sure.
So I would say that's one of the initial core values.
No, that's terrific. You're right. If they got a good attitude, they can figure out how to get through it. How you can teach them. Right.
Yeah. And it'll be good to work with them to teach them that. But if they have a bad attitude, and it's, I don't know who said it, but one bad seed can really put a damper on your whole entire culture. And I've actually seen that firsthand. Right. And then as soon as you get that person out, people are like, I'm so glad you did that and all that. So, yeah.
What's the one little known business habit or tool that you have or possess that attributes to your success?
I'd say faith, meaning that whatever I do, or everything is figure outable. There's this book, it's called, I haven't actually read the book, but I remember hearing that concept and I was like, that's so true. And it's called Everything is Figure Outable. Yeah. Have you heard of that book?
I've heard the phrase. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I would say is one non-business habit, because I use that in just about everything. Because when a problem arises is, okay, can figure this out and have more of a growth mindset versus a victim mindset and say that, okay, that problem is there. Okay, well, it's me. I only have these certain skills. There's no way I'm going to be able to overcome that or figure out that problem, versus when you have more of the growth mindset and just understand that, okay, I see the problem there. I may not have the skills. I may have to figure out a way to obtain those skills and become better, or bring someone on who has those skills. And if I don't have the money to pay them, I could bring that person some type of value. That way they can help solve the problem for me.
Yeah. Knowing what you now know, what would you have done differently looking back to the beginning of your real estate journey?
So that's a tough one, because it comes down to that everything has got me to where I am today. Yep. But I would say is looking back, and this is the thing, is being more of a strategic thinker. And with that is I take action, I figure things out from that. But oftentimes is when I just take action, let's say there's a brick wall in front of me, Neil, think I'm, what do you call that, Marvel character Juggernaut. And there's a wall in front of me and I keep running into it and then I bust through it. And I'm all bloodied up and there's a mess behind me, versus I could have looked at that wall and said, let me take a step back and figure out, okay, I could possibly build a wall over this, build a ladder, or I can go under it, or maybe I can actually go around. So that's what I would say. One thing is just myself, Sterling, hey, take a step back sometimes and actually strategically think and map it out. But at the same time, there's that balance between taking action, because I don't want to do too much of that and not take any action at all.
Right. Yeah, there's a fine balance between those two, is there not?
Yeah, agreed. And I wouldn't even know how to explain that to my younger self if you would get it.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the business headed this year?
So the business at this moment is have been selling over the years, is that where the market is and what people are offering. And there's one deal that I'm working on, the 156 units that I mentioned to you, is that someone is offering more on our five-year projections, about 10 to 15% more, a very low cap on a five-year projection where the property is already stabilized and everything, and we're only 2 years into the project itself. So have been selling. In addition to that is myself personally, I've just been really focusing on sharpening my tool on my mindset, my mind, and really reading into philosophy and further understanding human nature and how the world works itself.
Oh, that's cool. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, we become what we think about. Earl Nightingale said it. What about that resonates most with you?
Is that what is what we think about most of the time is what we end up becoming. So if you believe, and of course there's in this is the secret and the law of attraction, but still you have to take some form of action. Yeah. But if you think of yourself as, let's say you don't have very much confidence in yourself, and let's say you're doing the acquisitions and going for multifamily, and you're saying, I don't think I'm doing this day in and day out, but I don't think it's actually going to work. Versus if you keep thinking and saying, okay, I know if I keep planting these seeds, I may not see it right now at this point, but if I keep doing it and not giving up, at some point, it's going to work out. So that's what I get from that is we become what we think about.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a five-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Themselves.
Yeah.
First and foremost, they're in their own way, and likely is it could be due to not having a big enough why, either or that there's some limiting beliefs. I believe it was Ed Milet that said this, is that people are such as a thermostat. So their limiting beliefs could keep them. Let's say in order to get to that next level, they need to get to 80 degrees, but due to their limiting beliefs, they're at 70 degrees. So they're going to keep constantly hitting that 70 degrees and then self-sabotaging themselves to go down. That way they get back to that 70 degrees versus shedding those limiting beliefs. Yeah. Then they can get past that.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I'd say philosophy. I've really enjoyed learning about Stoicism. There's Taoism. I think you call it Taoism, but just really one of the key principles that I've gotten is that seeing the world for what it is and not what I believe it should be.
A totally different lens.
Exactly. Yes. And awareness. That's always just one key thing I want to work towards, Neil, is just becoming more aware of what's around me. What are blind spots I may have? Yeah, that I don't see, and what weaknesses I have and what weaknesses other people see that I absolutely don't see. So want to get better. That way I could be better to the world.
Sounds like being cognizant of your perception, right? The old saying is perception is reality. And so you want to shed that lens of perception to understand what really actually is.
Yeah, that is a great point. Yes, because we see the world through our own lens. Right. And what if you don't have the right lens in which you're viewing? And oftentimes when someone comes with a different belief that shatters that perception, then that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
I'd say is being a part, as an example, is giving back to individuals or kids that were in the environment that I ended up growing up in. So one, being a part of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, where I actually mentor kids. And I had a little brother that was, and I remember that environment was where I was, and really being able to help him out that and say, hey, you don't have to take this common path that many people take, and being another statistic, here's a path that I took and here's the way, and just got to have faith to keep pushing along.
No, that's great. Well, Sterling, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect up here and share your story. It's very inspiring to understand where you came from and how you're able to really mentally solve that and break through the limiting beliefs that hold so many people back, no matter where one comes from, land an industry that's allowed you to absolutely thrive and do it the way you want to do it.
Yeah, and it's fully achievable for everyone who's listening on this podcast. And you may be in a 9-to-5 example that you just may not necessarily enjoy, but it is possible. But at the same time, it does take work in order to get to that. But if someone such as myself can do it, you can do it as well. If you're willing to put in the work, of course, it's not easy.
No, for people who want to connect with you, they want to find you, they want to follow you, how can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me across all platforms. And so it'll be Sterling White Official. SterlingWhiteOfficial.com is one. SterlingWhiteOfficial.com as well. And it's the same thing for Instagram, Sterling White Official. Go ahead and slide into the DM with any questions you may have.
Yeah, cool. We'll make sure we get the links posted down below in the show notes. Sterling, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you, Neil.
You bet. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone? If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode. What if I told you you can make 20 times the return of a single family fix and flip on your next big deal? Well, it's actually possible. It's possible inside the world of commercial real estate. Say, I'm inviting you to this free challenge. It starts August 15th. It's totally free. It's a 5-day challenge where I'm going to take you and deep dive into the world of commercial real estate, more specifically, capital multiplier properties, what that is, how we identify them. I'm going to show you how to identify them, how to evaluate them, and how to lock them up risk-free. I'm going to give you all the paperwork to do it. It's totally free. You can sign up to join us at www.20xprofitchallenge.com/ real grit. That's www.20xprofitchallenge.com/real grit. And I'll see you in the challenge.